Thank you, Lord. So, Father, as the cry of our heart is nothing else this morning, you're going to have to do something then. Because sometimes we do want something else. Sometimes we do something else. Sometimes we do hunger and thirst for other things. So, God, if we say nothing else and that you will do, then we're going to need you to empty our minds, empty our hearts, empty our bellies, empty our lives of everything that we consume that wasn't you. We say now nothing else. But God, our yesterdays are full of other choices, God. And we ask now in Jesus' name that you would forgive us of all of our sins and trespasses. We thank you for you dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us, Lord, to set us free. And Lord, we ask, God, that the message that you have for us today would be inspired by the Holy Spirit to present us with truth that will break the shackles off of our minds, off of our hearts, God. Today we talk about identity, who we really are in Christ, God. There's such an agenda in this world against the identity of man. Confusion in gender identity. Confusion, Father God, in all kinds of identities. People are looking to find their identity in so many things except in you, even in animals, God. They'd rather liken themselves to an animal than to liken themselves to their creator. So, Father, I thank you for an anointing being upon your servant to feed your sheep this word, God. I thank you, God, for just the light of God coming through this word and shining into our darkness, where your word says, my people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. So, God, we do not reject you, nor do we reject this knowledge. May the word of God be powerful this morning, but yet soft enough to receive, God, to believe and to walk in. Renew our minds through this word. Open our ears that we might hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church, and anoint us with great faith that we might have the works to do that which we hear. And we pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Church, can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Let's give God some praise again. So thankful for our praise team, our media team, our ushers, greeters, everybody that makes this possible. We're so very thankful for them this morning. We are still in a series called Fulfilling Ministry, because you need to understand that God has given us all a ministry to fulfill, that we've got work to do. Since God has saved us and he's done the work for us, he's asked some things of us, and he's given us new life. Last week, we began the message about love and talked about the love cycle and how it cycles around in four parts. Number one, God loves us. Can you say this with me? God loves me. That's the first step in the love cycle. You have to understand how much you are loved by God. The next thing you have to do is love God back. Right? Because God loves everyone. Every single sinner in the world, every righteous person in the world, God loves us all. But not everybody loves God back. So that's the second step in the love cycle. We've got to love God back. And how do we do that? We receive the gift of salvation, and then we begin to love Jesus Christ back through obedience to his word. It's very important that we learn to understand that we have a responsibility to also love God back. The next thing is to have a righteous or a healthy self-love. Church, say this with me. I love the new me in Christ. Come on. Now, you've been remade in Christ, and you're allowed to love and to care for this new version of you in Christ. But that old man, that sinful man, has perished. We want nothing to do with him anymore. He was destroyed on the cross of Jesus Christ, and now we have new life because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And then finally, the last step of the love cycle is that we love others. The same way that we now love our new self, we need to be proclaiming to others, hey, Jesus loves you, and there's a new you that he's waiting to release to you, a new version of you, because this version is going to die, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever will believe in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So there's a new version of people that will live forever, because there's only two classes of people in the end. God calls them sheep and goats. The sheep are his children. They will inherit eternal life from him. And then those that are goats have rejected him. Listen to me. God did not reject them. They rejected him. They rejected Jesus. They rejected salvation. And since they rejected him, he can't receive them into himself. He wants to save everybody. The word of God tells us it's not his desire that anyone should perish, but everyone should have this gift of life. So that's what love does. Love allows the love of God to come to us. We love God back. We love this new version of ourselves in Christ, and then we love others. How do we love others? By telling them about the love of God so that they can start their new love cycle in him. Today, we talk about identity. On the wall here, there's four words on this side. They spell out life, L-I-F-E, love, identity, faith, and eternal purpose. So I know I'm the one with the microphone right now, but I'm not the only minister. All of you are ministers. You're ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're ministers of reconciliation. And the message of reconciliation is come back to God. Church, say this with me. Come back to God. Everyone, come back to God. That's the ministry that you have inside of you. The Bible says you have a ministry of reconciliation, which means making people right with God again. So last week we talked about the fulfillment of ministry, fulfilling ministry rather, and the ministry of love. Through love, God says, come back to me. How does he do that? Look at my arms stretched wide. He accepted. He said, come back to me as he died on the cross for our sins. So the message of love is come back to God. There's a way now through Jesus Christ. But today you learn about your identity in God. So, Lord, I thank you now in Jesus' name for these people having a hunger and thirst to hear your word. Lord, would you create a bubble of time right now to where we don't want to break out, that we just be so in awe of your word, God, that we're not thinking about anything worldly because we said nothing else. So, God, I pray that you would help me deliver this message in the way that you want it to be delivered. In Jesus' name, amen. Fulfilling ministry, the ministry of identity. So I'm speaking to you as if that you are workers for God. So I know that you come to this church and for years you've been told that you're members of a church or members of that church. It's not about man's church, belonging to man's church. It's about belonging to God's church. And when you belong to God's church, you become his ambassadors. Church, can you say this with me? I am an ambassador for God. You guys are gonna have to pump it up for me, because I'm at a 10, you're about a 2. You're gonna have to meet me in somewhere at least a 5, 5.5. All right, say it again. I am an ambassador for God. Come on, you gotta break out of the miry clay of that old identity. Everything the devil's been lying to you about, you feel less than. But I'm here to tell you this morning, I've got good news from you from the word of God, that you are only who God says you are. You are not your mistakes. You are not your past. You are not your depression. You are not your anxiety. You are only who God says you are. And the sooner you begin to walk in your true identity, the sooner you begin to receive the life that God has for you in Christ. You are not who you used to be once you come to God. So the heart cry of all ministry is simply, come back to God. That should be the heart of every ministry that is really from God. the heart of it should be a way to come back to God. It should not say, well, you don't believe this doctrine, so you can't be with us. Or you don't believe in our denomination, so you can't be with us. That's not ministry from God. If it's ministry from God, it should always say, come back to God. There's a way to Jesus Christ or to the Father, and it is through his Son, Jesus Christ. So let me, I need to gear down a couple gears. Slow down. All right. So, from the beginning. Church, can you say the beginning? I'm talking about you today. You're going to learn more about you today than you can learn from your family tree, than you can learn from Grammy or whoever, whatever you call your grandma. All right. You're going to learn who God says you are today. Let's go from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, it says, then God said, who said? Not a man and a woman, not your mom and your dad. In the beginning, it says, God said, let us. So God was not by himself. He does not exist in one person, but in three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so he's having a conversation with himself. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image. Come on, there wasn't a meeting of monkeys one day, and the monkeys didn't say, hey, let's make babies that eventually turn into humans. No, you did not come from monkeys. You came from God. He said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. That's the beginning. Listen, Lord, I pray that they would receive this message by faith this morning, that to know that they are God beings, that it began in the beginning, that God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and that we would just have dominion in the earth. Verse 27 says this, these three words, so God created. Can you say that with me? So God created. So first he thought about it. Let us make human beings in our image. Then he created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. If this is your first time here, you're going to wonder why I have you talk so much. Like, you're the preacher. Why do you keep telling me to say things? Because you have to come into agreement with truth. You have to make a statement, a declaration of truth. And when you say it, it is powerful, right? So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Church, say this with me. I am created in the image of God. Man, that's huge. You're not created in the image of your mistakes. You're not created in the image of, see, I'm a black man. If you don't have glasses on or you're sitting far away, I am a black man, right? But my identity is not in my blackness. Your identity is not in your whiteness or being Hispanic or biracial or whatever you are. The world wants to slam you into a box and make you identify as something. Identify as gay, as bisexual. No. From the beginning, God said, I made you in my image. Male and female, he created them. We were created in the image of God. It's the devil's design to get you out of your image so that he can get you out of your identity, so that he can get you out of your purpose. Genesis 2, 15 through 17, we hear this. The Lord God placed man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Okay? So, we know that Adam and Eve, they ate the fruit, but they did not physically die. So what died? Within them, that image of righteousness and holiness and purity that they once had, that they became spiritually dead, and the light of God went out inside of them, and they begin to walk in darkness, and they lost their identity in God, and they just began to exist alone as his creation. Fallen creation. Church, can you say fallen? So everyone, we'll get to that in a moment. So that's Genesis 2, 15 through 17. God put man in the garden and man sinned against God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. It says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. This is after they sinned and after they fell. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. What did they do? They hid. They hid from God. Listen to me. There are still people in this world hiding from God. They're still hiding from God. Why? Because when they get close to light, when they get close to love, when they get close to God, they feel like Adam felt in the beginning. Listen to what he said. Verse 9. Then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? I got a new revelation about this morning. It's not that, listen, I've got a cell phone that allows me to know where Drayden and Amaya and Dominic are because I can find them on my phone. So I don't believe that God was calling out to say, hey, I'm God, but I can't see. Where are you guys? It wasn't that they lost location. He lost location with them. It wasn't a location issue, but an identification issue. Where are you? Or basically, where am I in you? Like, who is this? Like, this is not the man I created. Where are you? Where is the real you? So they hid from the Lord God. God called out to man, where are you? He replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Listen to what God says. Who told you that you were naked? The Lord God asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? So that was the fall of all mankind, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. That's when we lost our true identity as the ones created in the image and likeness of God, right? So anytime a baby is born, no matter how innocent and beautiful they look, they must be born again. Because while they have the outward appearance of God, they don't have the inward reflection of his character, so they must be born again. I'm not satisfied with my kids looking like me or acting like me. I want them to look like Abba, Father. I don't want them to just have me as a dad. I want them to be able to look towards heaven and say, Abba, Father, because this means that they have been born again. Because we can birth children into this world that don't make it into heaven. So our responsibility as parents is to make sure that our children can call the true Father, Abba. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. It says, then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree and eat it? Then they will live forever. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the truth of life. So after man fell, God banished them, right? He banished them from the garden and sent them away. Man, I'm so glad the story doesn't end there. Because if the story ended there, then we would be lost forever. And I just told you that the true heart of every ministry must be come back to God. If God really loves us, then there should be ministry that exists in this world that says, come back to God. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. We understand what happened. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Let's see if the Bible is true. By a show of hands, how many of you have ever sinned before? Every single one of us have sinned. Every single one of us have sinned, so that tells me that the Bible is true, that Adam sinned and sin was passed out through every generation, even to us. So now we must find a way back to God. We have the love cycle, and now we've got the identity cycle. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. So, God doesn't make mistakes. So, a lot of atheists and agnostics would say, well, if God knew Adam was going to fall, then why did he even make him or allow it to happen? If Adam was imperfect, why put such a huge responsibility upon him to fill the world with new seed, and then all that seed be evil? If Adam was the plan from the beginning, then this is a very faulty plan. If Adam was the plan from the beginning, then we find a very faulty plan. But let's read this. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. How many spiritual blessings, church? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with him. So listen to this. This is wild. Verse 4. Even before he made the world. When, church? Before he made the world. When, church? Before he made the world. Listen, so before Adam was ever made, God had a plan. Listen, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Adam. Is that what it says? Does it say in Adam? What does it say? What? So you're telling me the plan from the beginning was never to be in God's family through Adam? No. He knew Adam was faulty. He knew Adam would mess up. How does he know? Because you mess up and I mess up. We all mess up. That's too big of a responsibility to be the family of God through the flesh. So even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance. In what? I can't hear this side. In what? God decided in advance. So before Adam fell, before the world was created, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself. Remember, come back to God. By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Let's give God praise for that revelation right there. That is huge. That is huge. The plan was never for man to be righteous in and of himself. The plan from the foundation of the world, before God said, let there be light, and there was light, he had already decided in advance that the people that he put on this planet would come back to him through his son, Jesus Christ. Man, that's exciting news, because he knew that I would mess up and I would fall short. He knew that every single one of you would fall short, that you would sin, but he made a way through his son, Jesus Christ, to say this: Adam, you fell. Man, you really messed up. You must die. You gotta get out of the garden. You gotta get away from my presence. I have to guard the tree of life. If you eat this tree while you're in sin, you'll stay like that forever. Get out of here. And gave angels guard. But now there's a message from heaven that says, come back to God. Right? We don't have to load a cruise ship, although that does sound good. They got good food. We don't have to load a cruise ship and say, okay, let's go find the tree of life. No. all we have to do is believe on the tree of Jesus, which is the cross of Jesus Christ, and say, this is now the tree of life. And if we believe on him, we can be saved. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. And it says this. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. Say this with me. There's a difference between my sin and his gracious gift. Oh, how awesome is that? There's a difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we were guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it. For all who what?
Receive it.
Will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for everyone. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. Listen to that. That's why God's law came. God's law was never intended to be a permanent way back to God. It was impossible to get back to God through the law because the law was weak in our flesh. We could not do it. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Let's pause for a moment. How many are learning something today? Are we in the right place? We're learning something today. Verse 21. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Give God praise so I can catch my breath. Man, this is good news. Woo! We get our identity back. Come on. All right, so the message is come back to God. You're ministers. You're not just churchgoers. You're ministers of this gospel, right? 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21 tells us this. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task. Say this with me. God has given me a task. Oh my God, I thought it was just a gift. I thought I like the gift. Don't give me work too. No, I'm going to give you the gift, but you've got work to do. But it's a work of love. Church, say work of love. Come on, it's a work of love. And all he's asking you to do is tell other people, come back to God. There's a way through Jesus Christ where you don't have to be a victim of sin anymore. Some of you have suffered greatly at the hand of sinners. Some of you were raised by alcoholics, raised by angry people, and sin had really dominated their lives, and they hurt some of you bad sitting here today. Some of you were hurt very bad by people who were living in sin, but I've got a message for you today that you can come back to God through Jesus Christ, and you can receive your healing through Jesus Christ, that you are not a victim anymore of Satan's plan to destroy you. There's good news today that God loves you, and just because your parents were in, listen to me, no matter how good your parents were, and I'm not knocking anybody's parents, okay? We'll wait for Mr. Motorcycle. All right? There's only so much love, there's only so much love a sinner can give to someone. It's limited, right? It's limited. So a sinner can give limited love to their children. And what's that limited love look like? I'm going to feed you. I'm going to put a roof over your head. You know, I'll do my best to love you, but I have limitations as a sinner. I have hurts as a sinner. I have hang-ups as a sinner. And until I come into the freedom of Jesus Christ, I can't even love myself the way that I need to be loved, let alone love children. So, Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name for everyone sitting under the sound of my voice who were raised by troubled people, people who were angry, people who were addicted, people who the devil was just trying to destroy, God. And I pray for healing right now, even through this message, God, that the plan was never through our parents to make us whole. The plan was through Jesus Christ to make us whole. So mom and dad, they didn't buy your car. They didn't pay for your college. They didn't give you a down payment. The plan was never to show you God's man. The plan was never to show you all of God's goodness through your parents. The plan was to show you God's goodness through his son, Jesus Christ. So everything you didn't get from mom and dad, you can get through Jesus right now. Church, say amen. 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 Let's keep this going here. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task. Okay, what's the task, God? What's my purpose? Everybody's saying, well, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? He tells you right here, I'm giving you this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So what does it mean to reconcile? Here it is. No longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Church, say this with me. I am made right with God through Christ. See, not your works, not your good deeds, not feeding the poor, not stopping drinking alcohol and smoking weed, not stopping lusting and all these things. It's not what you do that makes you right with God. It's what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for our sins that make us right with God. But after you're right with God, you will stop doing all that other stuff, right? Because sin has no more dominion and rule over you if you've truly been born again. So that's the question we must ask ourselves if you still live in sin. Not struggle with sin, because we all can have our struggles and troubles, but none of us who are born again are dominated by sin. When you're born again, listen very closely, when you're born again, you only sin because you want to, not because you have to. When you're born again, you get a new nature, and it's like Christ living in your body. You get the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So when you sin as a Christian, it's never because you had to. Because when Christ lives in you, the power of sin has been broken. So when we sin as Christians, which we all do and still do, even the God pointing his finger at you, when we sin as Christians, it's only because we wanted to. It's only because lust was stirred up again inside of us and we wanted to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's keep going. So we come back to God through life and we stay in God through rest. We come back to God through love, through this new identity, through faith, through the eternal purpose. And we stay in God through rest, which is revelation, empowerment, strategy, and triumph. All right. So, let's keep going. Jesus identifies himself to us. Okay, so this is the first step of the identity cycle. First, Jesus must present himself to you as the Messiah. You must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the first step of receiving that identity, that new identity. Let's go to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. And I'm going to kind of paraphrase some of this. So he went and met with a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus wanted to know who Jesus was, all right? I got to read this to you. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. You notice it didn't say a man born again, walking in the power of God that has had his identity in Christ. No, it just simply defined him as a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. So just because you come to church and hear these messages, it doesn't make you a child of God. It can make you religious though, right? I religiously come to church. I religiously read my Bible. I religiously stay out of the bar. I religiously try not to curse. But just because you're religious doesn't mean that you're a son or a child of God or want to inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 2, after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, listen to Jesus talking. Come on, he's got to reveal himself. No one can be saved unless Jesus reveals himself to them. No one can get that new identity if Jesus is a secret. That's why he gave us the job of being ambassadors to tell people to come back to God. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again. Unless you are what, church? Born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Listen to this. Here's how we know that Adam was never the plan. Listen, humans can reproduce only human life. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to what? Spiritual life. Church, God is a what? Spirit. So we can never be in God's family as humans only, because God is a spirit. So that's why we need to be born again. So don't be surprised when I say to you, you must be born again. All right, so step one is Jesus identifying himself to us. Step two is we then must believe in Jesus. So this is the identity cycle. Step one, Jesus presents himself to you as the Messiah, usually through the preached word, right? You hear a message, someone preaches Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and Jesus is the Son of God. And through that revealing that, hey, this is the truth, this is the gospel message, then people have the opportunity to receive that message and input within it. Man, this is good. Input within the gospel message, right? Input within it is faith. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when the gospel message is shared, we think that we must convince people that Jesus Christ is Lord. No, all you got to do is say it. Come on. All you got to do is say the gospel. The gospel has power all by itself. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord or the gospel message. The devil has convinced us that we should just shut up and be quiet and don't talk about Jesus, because who are we? This is why identity is important. We are the children of God, right? And who are you to tell people about Christ? They're not going to believe you. They're going to call you foolish. But do you not know that God chose to use the foolishness of preaching the gospel to save the world? He chose the foolishness of this message about the cross to save the world. So listen to me. Believe me when I say this to you, that none of you who are saved today would be saved unless you heard the gospel message and the faith that was in it came into you and your eyes were open. You said, Jesus, save me. You are the Messiah. You are who you say that you are. That's the identity cycle. First, Jesus must present himself to the world as the Messiah, as the Savior. And then after that, here's what must happen. John 3:16. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who does what? Believes in him. Does what? Believes in him. So you're only saved by faith in him. But where does that faith come from? It comes from when you hear the message about Jesus Christ. Faith is built into the message. It's in the message. So that it should make sense why the devil doesn't want anyone to hear the message. It should make sense. Listen to me. It should make sense why you're scared to talk to people about Jesus. This should make sense why you're so nervous. But listen to what God said. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? Amen. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. This is so important, and I'm almost done. Take a deep breath. All right, that just gave me a little bit more room to preach to you. A little more, that's like taking your belt a couple loops off. Once you had two pancakes at Cracker Barrel, you said, I want to eat that third one. You move the belt loop a little bit so you can eat that third pancake. You just took a deep breath so I can give you a little bit more truth before you leave, all right? I got to give this to you. Verse 18, listen, this is so good. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. Listen to this. Remember, I said, for the identity cycle to happen, for us to receive a new identity, God must reveal himself to us. He must do it. We cannot know God unless he reveals himself to us. And listen to what it said. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light. For their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. So the second part, and I'm only going to get through two. You have to come back next Sunday for the rest. The second part of receiving your new identity in Jesus Christ is believing on him. Listen to these few scriptures. This one is really beautiful. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 13 through 17. This keeps that cycle of identity going. He's like, hey, I want you to come back to my Father, but the only way to come back to the Father is through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus got so excited about this moment that's captured in your Bible. Listen to what happened. Matthew 16, 13 through 17 say this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, listen up, church, but who do you say I am? This is huge. I want you to picture yourself standing before the Lord right now and him saying that to you. But who do you say I am? that changes everything. Because if you have this revelation of who Jesus is, you are well on your way to eternal life. You are well on your way, man, that's so good. You are well on your way to receiving that identity that God had for us before the foundation of the world. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, listen to what he said. This is what we all have to say. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Church, can you say that with me? You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Listen to how excited Jesus got. Jesus replied, you are blessed, man. You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Do you see how powerful the gospel message is? Let's stand to our feet this morning. The gospel message is that important that you begin to receive your identity in Jesus Christ. He's the only way to the Father. I finished this morning with Romans 10, verses 5 through 10. And listen to what it says. For Moses writes that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. How many? All. So you couldn't miss any of them if you're going to be made right under the law. All of his commands. Verse 6. But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And don't say, who will go down to the place of dead to bring Christ back to life again? In fact, it says the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. So listen, the message is on your lips and in your heart. The message that saves you is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. Listen, verse 9, the most important thing you'll ever hear on this planet. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing. It is by what, church?
Believing.
Believing. Hallelujah. It is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Father, I didn't get to finish the message today, but if you give us more days, I'll finish the message. But God, I believe they have the bulk of it. In the beginning, you created man in your image. And in your image, we were created, God. But that was not the plan to bring us into your family. Man's plan was to dominate the earth. The plan for man was to tend the garden and to name the animals and to be fruitful and multiply. So man's responsibility, man's purpose, carnal man's purpose, was to take care of a carnal planet, a natural planet. But God, from the foundation of the natural, you had a supernatural plan in motion that you would save these people that you put on this earth and bring them back to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we would be made right. So Father, I have given them the message, I believe, to share with them today that you don't have to die and be labeled a sinner. You don't have to die and fall short of the glory of God. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Father, we thank you for this message of reconciliation. Thank you for giving us a new identity in you. Father, is there anyone under the sound of my voice that needs to give their life to you today? Is there anyone here that's living in sin, and if they were to die today, they would not enter into the kingdom of God because why? They are not born again, or because maybe they have backslidden. Well, God, they heard a message today that God saves sinners, and he's also married to the backslider. You never turn your back on us. So God, if there's anyone you desire to save today, I ask God that as we bow our heads and close our eyes, that if someone in this assembly desires to give their life to Jesus today, just simply raise your hand. If that's you, just raise your hand. Say, you know what? I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I've heard the gospel, and I desire to be born again. Praise the Lord. All right, you can put your hands down. If that was you today, I'd like you to meet me at the altar once we dismiss, and I'll pray with you. The team will pray with you and get you on that pathway of walking in this new identity that Christ has given us. All right, I want to pray a blessing over your church. Can I get those on the prayer team and to come?